Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome back, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. We do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kamire. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, are things better now that you're in home base?
They are, technically and otherwise. As I mentioned last week, we had a big live telethon in my neck of the woods. We ended up raising the goal for the 33-hour telethon for a town of 11,000 people was $350,000. And when we went off the air, we had $350,053. So we made our goal
nice
by $53 in the final minute. So it was a lot of fun, that broadcast. And yeah, now I'm back home. I'm getting ready for a second telethon next weekend, but I'm tired. I'm ready for some pick-me-up music and for some Van fucking Halen.
That is a lot of television for the Canucks, but hey, you know, what are you going to do? It's for a good cause. It's for charity. So right. Congratulations on that one. Let's hope the next one is less stressful for you, but very profitable for the charities.
That would be great.
It would be great. And you know what also is great? When we have guests on the show, when we have guests that also are actively participating in the discussions on our social media posts that actually have great takes and very good things to say most of the time when we discuss a track. And what a treat. What a treat. We have one of our most frequent guests on the show with us today. Please join us in welcoming Tom Armbruster. I am hoping I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. How you doing, Tom?
Friend of the show. I'm feeling fabulous. Doing well. And no, you absolutely cannot mispronounce my name. my seventh grade principal in front of an entire class assembly called me Tom Armbuster. And so as long as you avoid that, we're fine.
Good. Look, as someone who has had their last name frequently mispronounced in every way you can possibly imagine for 35 years, I get
there it.
It
is.
Oh, come on. Right. Kamire, really? Try being a Morissette with two R's and two S's and two. We've had Morissette. We've had everything.
See, I can imagine people misspelling it, you know, leaving off a T or an R or something. But Morissette to me is pretty straightforward. But then again,
thanks to people, Atlantis,
I have been called. Yeah, thanks to Atlantis. But
my question would be how often do you get asked about Atlantis? So there it is.
Quite a bit, actually. And yes, for those who want to know, I am very distantly related to her. My grandpa said that the Morissettes that landed on Eastern Canada were too stupid to know how to spell their name correctly, so they dropped an R. And that's why her name is spelled a little different than mine.
There it is.
You heard it here, folks. All Canadians are related. It's all one big circle, distantly, but any case. But hey, that's fun. That's some fun stuff. But look, yeah, I won't even get into the details of how many times my name's been mispronounced and what variations I have heard. Some of it would shock you, but we're not here to talk about names. We're here to talk about Van Halen. Yeah, woo indeed. That's what we do on the show. That's why you come here. Corey, do we have anything in Van Halen news that we can talk about, or do we just go straight to the rock and pole?
You know what? I'm looking on Van Halen news desk. That's where we get all of our Van Halen news from. And I haven't been on the internet much because I've been working a lot, but apparently David Lee Roth released another studio/live track from those sessions. This time he did You Really Got Me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No.
I haven't listened to it yet. Do you guys want to play a little bit of it?
I really don't, but I feel like we have to.
We kind of do.
All right,
here's a little bit of
it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
This is the David Lee Roth fourth release from the studio sessions. This is You Really Got Me.
Okay. Is there a gong? Is there a gong on this thing? I see the wheel.
I'm old enough to get that reference. Thank you, Tom. I'm old enough to get that reference.
Oh boy, you know he almost had me. He almost had me convinced that, hey, you know what? Maybe this won't be so bad. And then very quickly, it goes straight down the
sideways.
Toilet. Yeah, good God.
Well,
look,
already right off the hop, I wasn't digging the guitars. Like Eddie does that so much better. And no offense to Al Estrada, who's a really good guitar player, but it just, and the tempo was slower. And then,
The tempo's weird. The guitar tone, yeah, like no offense, but just the tone just didn't sound right.
Was there a phaser on that guitar, or is that just the audio distortion from the broadcast?
There's probably a phaser on the in the effects, perhaps.
I didn't know if that was distortion on my end or whatever, but yeah, I wasn't digging it.
But again, Dave sounded like he was going to go pretty strong into it, and I was I allowed myself to be optimistic, and then suddenly, I don't know, did he forget how the lyrics go, or did he just decide this is a vocal change I'm doing because I do not want to go higher up any more in the register than I have to, which that's kind of a bummer, but he just sounds tired. I'm sorry. He just sounds tired.
You know, who among us has not wanted to walk into a convenience store and say, give me a bottle of anything with a glazed donut? But I mean, so the Dave attitude is solid. I grew up on the Dave attitude. I have some Dave in me. I think we all do, especially as Van Halen fans. But when it comes to the singing, I mean, I've seen him live. I saw him on the Sam and Dave tour, and they, you know, when they were switching openings. And if Dave had closed that show, I would have walked out because it was just not. I mean, and that was back in whenever, I don't even remember how long that tour was. It's been 20 years.
Yeah.
If that, more than that, actually, because. Anyway, yes, I'm dating myself, but the Gong Show thing did that already. And the point is, I mean, God bless him for giving it a swing, you know? But here we are.
Yeah, I don't, I think his, well, I can't even be sure that when I say I think his heart is in the right place, I'm not sure that's true. I don't know where. I don't know what the point of doing these are.
He's got a showman's heart. He wants to, he's got to be the show. He's got to be the center of attention. That's kind of Dave's thing. You know?
It is, but I feel like, I just feel like he, there's so much, but there's something else. There's something else. This isn't the one, Dave. This isn't the one. Or the fourth, rather, since this is the fourth track they've decided to re-record. I don't think this is the move. But I'm sure there are listeners that we have right now, and there are plenty of people out there that are jamming this going, oh, look at Dave. This is awesome. Good for Dave. He's keeping it real. This is why we are pro Dave all the time. Fuck Sammy. And to those people, I go, congrats with a question mark. I don't know.
Well, and I go back to what the David Lee Roth guys on the DLR cast said. When they're like, he's, what is the point? Because you're not releasing these commercially.
Yes.
There's no, like, you can't buy these tracks. There's no CDs or anything. You're just releasing them to your YouTube page just randomly as you go. Obviously, it's kind of it's an ego thing. But even that, like, I agree with everything Tom said. But to that end, when you want to, like, you know, put this out, and maybe that's the end goal. He'll release all, like, 12 or whatever on his YouTube channel and then put out a digital album and a vinyl album and all that kind of stuff. But right now, and the DLR guys even said, they've talked to people in Dave's camp, and even Dave's camp is like, we don't know what the fuck he's thinking.
I mean, to be fair, you know, again, Sammy and the Circle the lockdown sessions where they did all the covers, and then they popped an album out after that. So it's not entirely unprecedented.
Well, and Dave likes to be the center of attention, right? So earlier we had Wolfgang getting a lot of headlines for his brilliant performances as part of the Taylor Hawkins tribute, and both of them. And now we have Sammy the Circle releasing a new album. So maybe he's just trying to cut into that a little bit. Like, hey, don't forget about me.
Do you think that's what this is? Do you think this is just an ego play? Like this is supposed his way of trying to lord over the two of them?
I think everything David Lee Roth has ever done in his life is an ego play.
That is a fantastic point.
You're not wrong.
But I mean, I don't know. I guess at a certain, well, all right. I was going to say at a certain age, you just kind of have to, dare I say, grow up. I don't know, kind of get. But then I remembered there's another individual in the rock community who is just as old, if not older, who has no idea what that means. And, you know, I'll go ahead and say it. Gene Simmons just doesn't know when to stop. He doesn't know when to stop. It's fine. That's relevant to the show. There's a correlation with Van Halen, Gene Simmons. We've talked about it before. Eric Sinich has talked about it. It's fine. But yeah, I'm pretty sure his age predates even that of Dave's. So some men just cannot let some things go in terms of ego. I get it. But I tell you, this has been a humbling experience watching Dave go through this and watching the ego just never die. This is humbling. I will take these notes to heart for my future. But anyway,
you know what? Well, whatever makes him happy, whatever floats your boat, right? If doing this, you're getting your jollies out of it, more power to you. You were the front
man. It's not going to deter my love for Van Halen, Diamond Dave era. Like, you know, again, I have to point that out. You guys, I'm not anti Dave. Obviously, I love Van Halen when he was part of it. But I love when Sammy was part of it, and I am more towards Sammy. You guys know this,
and that's okay.
I'm not anti Dave. I mean, look, brief history lesson. I barely knew Van Halen existed before 1984. And then, I heard Jump on the radio, and I'm not going to lie, I hated it, mainly because they kept playing it over and over and over, and I was just sick of the song.
Oh yeah,
I met a kid in high school who was a guitar player, and he's like, no, see, Jump isn't the whole thing, and he made me a mixtape with Fair Warning and Women and Children First on it, and I popped that tape into my Walkman, and it didn't leave my Walkman for 9 months. Uh-huh. So I got steeped in it, and I love Dave's vocals on those albums. I love all of Dave's studio stuff, top notch. I love it. You know, the guy talking back and forth a little. The problem is when you get live, you know, and Eddie even said it when he would go to a Led Zeppelin show and he'd say, you know, he'd watch, God help me, I'm blanking on the guitarist for Led Zeppelin.
Jimmy Page, sorry.
You hear Jimmy Page on the album and he sounds great, but if you play like a kid with a broken arm on stage, then what's the point? So Eddie's kind of proven making the case there, is all I'm saying.
That's hilarious. But yeah, and I mean, again, I've always been a big proponent of a live show can make or break your act. And if you are putting out some impressive musicianship on record, then you really have to be able to bring that out in a live show. If not, make it better. And a lot of, especially vocalists, cannot do that. And that is one of the main reasons why I'm more pro Sammy than I am pro Dave, because I know Sammy can do that shit live.
Well,
Dave,
and you know what?
Not so much.
No, absolutely not so much. But to that end, just two nights ago, I went and saw Styx in concert for the first time, and that's not a band on record that I really dug too much. Like, I like Come Sail Away and Lady, sure, and Renegade and that kind of stuff, but I went and saw Styx live. They were phenomenal. Like, Tommy Shaw, for a guy well into his 60s, sounds phenomenal. Lawrence Cowan, a great Canadian, was all over the stage running around. He nailed the fuck out of Come Sail Away. Like, they sounded amazing, and they kind of converted me into a Styx fan. So you're right. If you can deliver the goods live, you know, that's huge.
That's a very big thing, and good for Styx, man, because, yeah, Styx, they've been around for a very, very long
years.
Time. So
50
yeah.
years. It was, yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
And you know what? So Nancy Wilson opened for him. Nancy Wilson opened for him without Ann. And she, again, like the girl she had singing for was fantastic. No Ann Wilson, but still really good. But Nancy Wilson can still kill it. They did actually, speaking of Led Zeppelin, their closer was Rock and Roll. And it was just one of the better shows I've seen in the last like 10 years.
That's amazing, man. That's awesome. And shout out to the Wilson sisters. I know for a fact they sound amazing live as well to this day. So do not count out the older musicians, the generational ones, because some of them actually can still bring it, and you owe it to yourself to find out live for sure. So
I mean, the circle is right up there too.
Yeah, exactly. Need we say more? But I will say this, Corey, I haven't taken a look at the dialogue happening on Twitter, but I did see the poll results. And I'm confused. Would you mind please telling our listeners what's going on with the rock and poll from last week's? As you guys know, we did Sucker in a Three-Piece.
That's right. And we had Brian on from the You're All Doomed Friday the 13th podcast, which he was phenomenal. I can't wait. I love his podcast. Hopefully we can get him back on. But we spun Sucker in a Three-Piece. We all eventually voted yay for it. Gave it a What Dreams Are Made Of, but it was close. I know I was kind of wavering.
Very close.
Yeah. And, you know, the poll was kind of close, too. It's actually 60% to 40% What Dreams Are Made Of. So it was in the affirmative, but not overwhelmingly so.
I find myself confused because I was pretty sure, like, even though us three on the panel last week gave it a yay, I was sure everyone would go absolutely not with this song. I was sure it was going to be just a landslide nay, but it is not.
It's no, and actually
40 split.
I tell you what, a lot of people took your comment to heart about, and our friend Jonathan too, when he said if you downvoted, explain why. So we actually have some comments explaining why they downvoted. Yes. So if you don't mind, I'll get into those right now.
Please do.
All right, our buddy Greg Zito said, gentlemen, another great show. Thank you very much for that. Brian is exactly right about this track having the Brown sound. The music is good and so are the vocals, but the lyrics are too cringy, which I think both you and I agreed was the case as well.
I had to concede that. Yes, it was true.
Gene says, far from Sammy's lyrical magnum opus, but the band and the chorus / vocal pushed it into What Dreams Are Made Of for me, but not by much. There's another one that kind of rides that line that we were on as well.
Yeah.
Der-Urs, who's becoming one of my favorite commenters, he always has great stuff. He says, a bit of a filler song, but still solid Van Hagar gold. So he's a little more positive maybe than we were on that one. So thank you for that. Our good buddy Old Handsaw from the movie Trivia Days, Mark.
Yeah.
I love this story. He says, autumn of 88, I would play this B-side to finish what you started on the jukebox at our local Pizza Hut before band practice. This would trigger our guitarist to hate play the intro when we were warming up.
You can always count on Old Handsaw to deliver the goods, no matter what
love
it is.
It. That's love
what
it.
A wonderful follow, that guy.
God
and I
bless
love that
you, Old
story.
Handsaw. Yep, that was fantastic.
I know exactly what it is to hate play something, so that's great. I love that.
My Canadian brother, Brian Peterkin, and I'm going to be nice on Brian because he's an Ottawa Red Blacks fan, and they're having a really bad season in the CFL. He says, love this, a top five Van Halen song for me. So that's great that he absolutely does. I know he's a big OU812 fan, and yeah, he a top five Van Halen song. That's a little bit of a stretch for myself. Probably
that's a choice, but good for you, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Love Brian. Good Canadian boy. Thank you for that. Chaz Mataz says, this was the album where I was like, what the fuck happened to Eddie's tone? Sorry, Brian. I heard nods to Page and Gibbons and Pursuit of the Fourth Chord, solo tight, but as a piece, it was, quote, a piece in my book. So, Mark, you're
how
the guitar
you really
player
feel
on the
about
panel.
It, Chaz.
Yes. Not a fan of the song.
His tone, I didn't feel that Eddie's tone in the song was bad. Like, I don't think it went anywhere. I don't know. I didn't have that particular reaction to Eddie's tone. The fourth chord, that's hilarious just because that goes to the old adage of rock and roll is like, all you need is three power chords and you're good. Right. Don't believe me. There's a band that made an entire career of it. They're called Kiss. I don't know why I'm shitting all over Gene Simmons tonight, but it's fine. But I'm just saying, there it is. But I love it. Yeah, Pursuit of the Fourth Chord. That's awesome. I don't think it was a piece in the way that he is addressing it, but I understand.
Okay. Jeff Fisher says, I agree with all three of you. The lyrics at the beginning and end almost sank it for me, but the middle of the song saved it.
Sometimes it happens. It's not the first time this has happened on the show and with Van Halen songs in particular. So I'm sure this won't be the last time.
That's right. At Van Halen Vault says, by far my least favorite song on my favorite Van Hagar era album. Sort of blah. Wow. Feels like filler and goes too long. Funny, the middle breakdown seems like the spot for a classic DLR rap a la Panama.
Just the spoken word, like, all right, yeah. Now I found myself in this back alley, and there you were. And that sounded more like Nick Cave. I apologize.
Will, who comments all the time, says he was actually surprised. He said, wow, I would think Van Halen fans would love this one. So he's kind of surprised at the kind of 60-40 split here.
You're then, just as surprised as I am.
Yeah. Some fella named Tom. I don't know. Never heard of him before. first, he said, haven't listened to the episode yet, but Sucker into Three Pieces is one of my least favorite Hagar tracks. I'll let you know if the episode changes my mind. And spoiler alert, I don't think it did. Because your next comment, Tom, was there is a review of 5150 that said, Sammy's lyrics makes you want to apologize to random women on the street. And that's the case here. I know Mark appreciates reasons for downvotes, but I just don't care for this one. So great comment, Tom. Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, really. Please expand.
It just didn't come together. I mean, I can't really explain it. Speaking of the guitar tones, they've been all over the... Honestly, they've been all over the map since 5150. You know, I mean, because if you go back and listen to 84... And this is what kills me, because Templeman, you know, when he started, he was like, Eddie's guitar is the most amazing thing ever. Everybody needs to hear it. And what does he do? He shoves it over on the left channel. Why would you not have, like, from Van Halen 1, put that thing in stereo?
Yeah.
You know, bring it out. And, you know, Eddie was just experimenting with tones and doing this and doing that. And of course, OUA12 being that record where there's no bass on it whatsoever. I don't know. It's just it just didn't work. It just didn't work.
Fair enough.
Absolutely. False Premise had a great quote here. He says, for years and years, I have skipped this track on OU812 because I remembered thinking the lyrics were lame. Your show forced me to reevaluate it. And while I was right to a degree, the track really does rip and is worth a listen. So there you go.
Have. There you go, false premise. Thank you for opening your mind. Happy that we were able to help you with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Jonathan Todd, who's coming on the show, I can't wait for that, says, great tune. Ooh. Great episode. Appreciate you both for continuing to being your lunch pail to the podcast. having a little fun with one of the more head-scratching lyrics from Sucker to Three Piece.
There are plenty. It's fine.
Ray says, it's a terrific lead, but like others have said here, the lyrics disappoint. Aside from the lead, to me, it sounds like it could be a song from another band, and that is not high praise. So maybe a little generic, for Ray.
Yeah, maybe I could see that a little bit. But again, the solo really kind of is what saves the song for me anyway. There's a few other things too, but mainly the solo.
I love this comment because it led to a great reply, but it says, Hypergamy explained utilizing advert nomenclature established by such nationally recognized brands like the Spearmint Rhino and the Golden Corral.
Jesus, you got that? Christ. No. No. And then Chad, I agree with Chaz's comment.
Yeah. Holy shit, I must be too stoned, not tracking at all. And I wasn't even stoned, and I had the similar opinion. And then Josh says, you are right where you need to be. Being too high does not exist.
I might agree with you on that one, but these words here, like if you're trying to make sense of them, at least to my simple brain, you failed. But
well, especially me, I'm a Canadian. I don't know what Golden Corral is. That's a restaurant chain in the States, isn't it?
It's a terrible restaurant chain in the States. Yes. Do not ever go there.
Yeah, all you can eat buffet.
Oh, yeah, even if Golden Corral terrific. Was a sponsor, I would say do not go there. It is it. No, you will be sick. You don't want to be there.
Okay. C. Barnett says, I love the intro and the guitar work is amazing, but this one falls into the Amsterdam category. The music is amazing, but the lyrics are so completely moronic that the song is ruined. Long legs straight up on her to her lunch pail. I hope Ed punched Sam in the face for that shit.
No, of course he didn't. I don't think he cared.
And then Chaz Mataz said, if it's the lunch pail, where is he eating? This one is back door for sure.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, our good buddy Heath McCoy chimed in and said, by the standards of the mighty Van Halen, this song is steaming hot garbage. Not only because of Sammy's ham-fisted, dim-witted lyrics, which absolutely ruined the song, but really the whole band sounds uninspired and on autopilot. The textbook epitome of Van Hagar filler.
Again, I'm not going to disagree with that, despite the fact that I did upvote it. But again, it was by this much. You guys can't see, but I'm holding up a very thin, thread. Like, yeah, it's very thin margin. Okay.
That much.
Yeah, exactly. False premise actually chimed in and said, I can't disagree entirely, but if I give it a score, it's at least a 52 out of 100. That's on the dream side, but barely. That's exactly where I was too. So thank you for chiming in on that one. Next, we have Kyle Anderson saying, I like it. Not my fave. Those first verse lyrics were brutal. Oh, yes, they were. Yes, they were.
Yeah, they were.
Scott Monroe says the chorus and solo make it what dreams are made of. It stands out as a pure rocker that could have existed on 5150 or even 1984. That's kind of a bold statement, is it, for either of those albums?
A bold statement, yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to retort to that. Sure.
Tom, would this have fit on 5150 or 84?
See, I would say more 5150 than 84. I think Eddie, you know, again, by OUA12, they'd had at least one full tour with Sammy. They'd gotten to know each other better. Eddie was more comfortable stretching out. And of course, you know, as we've said before, as you guys have said before, Sammy's just a better singer than Dave. And although I would have been curious to know what Dave's lyrics would have been.
Me too.
Because surely they would have been better than the whole lunch pail thing.
I maintain that no, they would not.
Yes, they would.
Be just as unintelligible.
Dave is a much better wordsmith than Sammy. I'll give you the vocal, but lyricist, come on.
Except for that one line, and everybody wants some that I'm still trying to
figure
out.
That's my thing, though. Like, every time you make
a moonbeam?
Yeah, exactly.
Every time you make a case, where Roth's lyrics beat Sammy's based on a Sammy song. We then turn around and listen to a Dave song where I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? What's happening here? Come on. We're going to keep doing this dance until it's over.
All right.
That's true.
Let's move on. Thrilla Art says... Yeah, we still got like 72 of these shows to go, Mark. We're going to get to the bottom.
I know. It's going to be one.
Yeah. Thrilla Art says, you know when you put peanut butter in a dog's mouth? When I hear the song, I think I feel like that dog. There's something tasty about it, but the overall experience isn't that great. The dream is over for me, but not the worst song by any stretch. That is fantastic.
I feel like he's... What, you don't want a spoonful of peanut butter in your mouth? Who doesn't want that? It's delicious.
Have you ever seen a dog, though, when you put a spoon? Like, I've done
that. Yeah, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. I didn't say the song wasn't funny.
It is funny.
It's
we got
not
two
funny
left.
In a good way.
Exactly. Steve Harold says, great work by Ed, Al, and Mike. Not singling out Sammy in that one, Mark. What do you think of that?
That's my favorite so far of the tweets.
And finally, the Rock Roulette podcast says, the production may be lackluster, but EVH was on fire during the 5150 to fuck time frame. This is a great deep cut from an album people seem to ignore. So big OU812 fans over there. And that, my friends, are the Twitter comments.
All right. Very active, very responsive. Thank you all for your words. Some of them were 100% accurate. Some of them were just batshit nutty, and I can't figure it out. But I'll get back to you on that.
It's my favorite part of the week. Yeah, it's all entertaining. I love reading the comments. We had one guy reach out. He wants to be on the show, and he said, I don't agree with you guys always, though. And I'm like, that's fine. Don't agree with us.
Oh, like, God. Is it the same guy who keeps like saying, like... Okay. That's like, do not bring that guy on. But thanks for still listening to the podcast. We appreciate
absolutely.
Oh man, we appreciate all of the listeners. All right. Well, with that said, what say you we spin this wheel and see what grand masterpiece we have in store lyrically, because I'm curious to know at this point.
Well, we have to manifest, and I know after listening David. Yes. Kind of butcher You Really Got Me. I want to hear You Really Got Me from Van Halen 1. So I'm really kind of hoping we spin that tonight.
That would be really fun. Anything from Van Halen 1 would be fantastic. Tom, you're our guest. What is a particular Van Halen song you want to hear tonight?
I have literally been thinking about this for like the last week. And here's what I want. Here's what I want to manifest. I actually want to manifest another one that's on the fence. I want to manifest a song that engenders good conversation and fun debate. I don't know which one that's going to be, but that's the one I want.
I'm in the mood for that. That's all. That sounds good to me.
So basically, what you're saying and what Corey, what you're saying that you want to hear and what Corey is agreeing to is Spanked.
Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm ready for Spanked. How about you, Mark?
Spanked or Judgment Day, apparently, are the two landmines I'm aware of.
I like Judgment Day.
We like Judgment Day. Judgment Day was fun.
Yeah, we
so,
did that.
Whatever.
No, wait. Oh, wait. What was the one that you were... There was like 2 weeks ago, you were like, I hope... Did you respawn it? Because it landed on...
Oh, it was...
Doing
it,
the
was
test spin
it was Spanked,
on
wasn't it?
You hated. No,
it was...
Yeah.
No,
it
was...
One.
It was...
Pleasure
Dome.
Pleasure Dome.
Thank you. It was Pleasure Dome. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction. And free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements. Featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I would really love to hear Pound Cake from the Fuck album. I think Pound Cake is just a solid tune. It's been one of my favorites.
No. Everybody wants to do Pound Cake. Let's do that on the live show when we can have like there Tom and everybody who wants to hop on a call and spin the wheel. That'd be a great show to do Pound Cake. Don't wish that for tonight. Come on.
Well, okay. Well, but hey, look. If we do a live show, then who knows what we'll get? We might spin Van Halen 3 like 3 times.
At least we'll have friends to help us get through.
Fair enough. But you know what? Okay, fine. I retract the manifestation, and I would just like to hear something from Van Halen 1. If nothing else, just to remember what really good David Lee Roth sounded like before he sounded so tired.
Ouch. Okay.
I know. I'm sorry, but it had to be said.
I've already shuffled the wheel here. So what do you say, boys? Are you ready to go?
Tear it up.
I'm ready. Tom's ready. If Sammy's ready, take it away.
All right. Oh, this is going to be a good one.
Oh.
She's the woman. Oh. Different kind of truth.
Oh, that's amazing.
So close.
This is funny.
The dream is over.
This is funny. And let me explain why. Because when I hopped on Apple Music today, I noticed that A Different Kind of Truth is all grayed out. It's not available. They took it off. So I went to Spotify and I looked for A Different Kind of Truth, and it's not there either. I'm like, well, we can't spin a track from A Different Kind of Truth because I don't have my CD on me.
That's true.
Then we spin a fucking track from A Different Kind of Truth. However, this is one of the two that is still on Apple Music. She's the Woman and Tattoo are still available as of right now on, Apple Music. So we're okay.
We're okay. We literally tested this out earlier just to make sure. Yeah. That's hilarious. But it was so close to The Dream Is Over. That would have been wonderful. I would have loved to have heard that.
And I'm looking directly at the wheel, and it's weird because the arrow is literally between Can't Stop Loving You and The Dream Is Over.
Yeah,
that's right.
Either one would be awesome. But hey, I'm in. Let's do this.
There we go. So yeah, at least this is the one we can actually do. We can talk about. We don't have to re-spin the wheel and ruin the integrity of the show once again. But it's fine. But yeah, I would really like to know why this album, with the exception of these two songs, is blurred out. That's interesting. But hey, whatever. What do you have anything in particular, any correlation, familiarity with this particular track, Corey?
Not so much. I know this was a song that went all the way back to 1976. This was a demo that was on the Gene Simmons a demo tape that he produced for Warner Brothers Records way back in 1976. And I know that Wolfgang kind of pulled it out of mothballs and thought, hey, we should actually work on this. This is actually pretty good. And if I remember correctly, it was a single off of A Different Kind of Truth. Tom, what were your thoughts on A Different Kind of Truth?
See, I was, okay, confession time. I'm still just a little bit mad at Eddie Van Halen for kicking Michael Anthony out of the band. I have no animosity whatsoever towards Wolfgang. Okay. It's all good. It's all fine. And ironically, I was reading the Eruption Conversations with Eddie Van Halen book this morning and came across the interview with that Wolfgang and Eddie did. And Eddie literally says, well, I didn't kick anybody out of the band to get Wolfie in the band. You know, he was just here. And I said, hey, we need a bass player. Do you need it? And I'm like, you had a bass player. What happened to Michael Anthony?
Yeah.
All that aside, with that in mind, I wasn't really interested in getting into A Different Kind of Truth. I didn't even buy it for like the first year it came out. And to be honest, the first track you guys did off of it, which I don't even remember which one it was, kind of inspired me to actually go back and actually listen to the full album for like the first time. And so it's fairly brand new to me at this point.
And you know what, to us too, when we started the show, like I'd given it a few spins, but, and I knew I had some of my standout tracks, and actually this is one of them. I loved She's the Woman when I first heard it. Mark, I know you were kind of new to a different kind of truth as well, weren't you?
Yeah, I've definitely heard She's the Woman, though, but it's probably only been one time since I've heard it, and it's been a while. So if I'm being perfectly honest, this is going to be kind of a fresh take.
Cool.
Perfect. And that's great. Yeah, absolutely. I think you guys are in for a treat. This is a gooder. If you guys are ready, here's a little She's the Woman from 2012's A Different Kind of Truth.
It's definitely got that early Van Halen energy, you know, that groove is there, and with the high bass, if you go back and listen to the early Van Halens, Michael Anthony was doing a lot of high stuff along with Eddie. So yeah, that absolutely tracks as an early pullback.
It's a good start. Oh. It's a very good intro.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chevy for my summer home. Let's get the party started. It's looking like the city.
Let's just pause real quick, okay? Shall we? Tom knows what's coming.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm high on luck. I want to be your knight in shining pickup truck. What the fuck is that? Come on.
That's great. That's
How is
shit.
That great?
That's good shit.
No.
He didn't reference a lunch pail once.
No, he referenced himself as an automobile. Not in a clever way. I want to be your knight in shining pickup truck.
That's a great line. It's a great line. I'm a little on cash, but I'm high on luck. Come on.
Yeah, okay. I'm a low on cash. I'm high on luck. I want to be your knight in shining pickup truck. What? No. What?
That's a great line. That's a great
line. I don't understand how that's a great line, but sure.
You know, what about Take It Easy from the Eagles? You know, they reference pickup trucks. It's very reminiscent of that.
They don't call themselves pickup trucks.
Knight in shining pickup truck means he's kind of like an everyman, right? He's just your average Joe in a pickup truck, but a little special. He's a knight.
I love your interpretive brain, Corey.
Is it a Chevy or a Dodge? That's the question.
I mean,
seven words. She puts the cream in my coffee. You can't fucking say anything about these lyrics when Sammy Hagar wrote that.
Yeah, but I'm just proving a point here, and it correlates to the earlier discussion where, like, every time we shit on Sammy and Dave being the superior lyricist, all of a sudden we get a song. We get a song where Dave is making no damn sense. But you know what? It's just the first verse, so let's see where it goes.
Come on. That's great. Because it's knight in shining armor. He's a knight in shining pickup truck. Great line.
Oh my God.
I disagree with you there. You are wrong, sir. Tom, where do you land on that?
No, I'm staying out of this one.
What a guest.
What a guest. Yeah. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. All right, let's keep going.
He told my other apartment.
Okay, it's looking like the city towed my other apartment. Great line.
I mean, right? but he's a knight in a shining pickup truck. So does that mean that city towed the pickup truck? That's him?
No,
I mean,
they towed the mobile home. Stay with the program, Tom. There's a narrative. Says, you just got to follow it.
You see, Tom, the pickup truck is the Chevy. The Chevy is his summer home. They've already towed his apartment.
That's right. Yes. Yep.
And look, as someone who's been binging Trailer Park Boys for quite a while now, I must say, like, that's hilarious for that reason. But otherwise, but I will say, in its simplicity, the chorus is very good.
And sung very well. I think this is in kind of Dave's wheelhouse, right? He did a very good job.
And this loops back. I was listening to the Mothership, Pot of Thunder. Ironically, they were doing Chickenfoot's complaining about the simplicity of Sammy's lyrics in that one. So she's the woman being a chorus on this one. Maybe those Pot of Thunder guys need to reevaluate their dealio there. But that's just me.
Maybe they should listen to the fucking Up for Breakfast. I don't know.
No, they did.
They did. They roasted it worse than we did.
It was rough.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that episode.
we were fucking generous to Up for Breakfast compared to the Pot of Thunder boys.
I can't wait to go back and listen to that.
It is a fun hour of podcast, let me tell you. If you guys haven't heard the Pot of Thunder Up for Breakfast show, do it. It's fantastic.
She was cool. Said if you're doing business with me, honey, what does that make you? Stop gossiping like an eating joint. You're a nervous wreck. Your IQ moment's 14 points. Your thunder thong around your neck.
That's fantastic. Your IQ plummets 14 points. Her thunder thong around your neck. Come on.
No, look, I have been rendered stupid around a beautiful lady. Yeah, I get it. I don't know. I feel like there's probably a better way he could have worded that, but it's fine. I'm not going to nitpick everything that Dave writes.
You know what? He could have talked about her lunch pail, whatever the fuck that is. We heard that song last week.
He almost lost me with fate is my pimp, but she was cool. Like, what? But you know, the rest of it made more sense. It's like,
I mean, no, the fate led him to her or her to him, mm-hmm. and it worked in the moment, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I have never participated in any sort of like buying of you know sexual pleasures, so I've never had to deal.
Oh,
with
come on, come
I, no, I've never no, I'll come. Absolutely clean, free of prostitution dates. So,
sorry, I forgot I wasn't doing a show with John Mariano. Sorry about that.
That's right. There you go. he's hitting the dating scene right now. So, you know,
he's single, ladies.
But so I don't know. I don't have experience with the whole pimp and pimp game. So I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Song ain't dirty, it's really just the way we sing it.
All right, that solo section. I just want to point out what Alex was doing at the beginning of that there was amazing. It was better than what Eddie was doing. And then Eddie kicked in, like, just hold on, mm-hmm. big brother, and laid down a great fucking solo. I love that whole section.
Well, Eddie was kind of throwing it back sort of kind of retro style, very, very kind of 70s funk-ish, sort of giving it that little the wah effect while Alex did his thing. And then it's like, okay, you done? My turn. But... just to point out, not to be undone whatsoever, while Eddie is just like tearing the fretboard apart, Alex is still like just pumping through that rhythm section like hardcore, him and Mike. Woofy. Woofy are just like going at it full force. Actually, I think this sounds like the bigger musical section to me, just based on that. So very, very fiery and explosive.
I had a very slick solo. I mean, it just kind of tickled in your ears. I found the solo actually a little more laid back than the energy of the song in the beginning. He kind of took it in a different direction for a little bit there. Not in a bad way, of course, because let's face it, it's Eddie. But yeah, that melodic magic was right there. And I meant to mention, by the way, that the backing vocals are very strong. I almost don't miss Mike. the only way I miss Mike is knowing that that's not Mike. So, it fits the ear. It's classic. It's a classic Van Halen sound.
100%. Wolfie does a fantastic job through the whole album. Not just this track, but.
Definitely. Something to regret tomorrow morning. This suburban garage is
wild, was worth exploring. Okay, you're going to shit on that lyric, but I love that lyric. This suburban garage at Troyes was worth exploring? That's brilliant. That's good.
I just want to know what a suburban garage at Troyes is supposed to be.
Exactly.
Oh, you know.
Do I? Because no, my brain could go in 100 different directions about what I think it might mean, but I don't know.
All you need to know is it's worth exploring. If the opportunity presents itself, give it a try.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Body remains to be saved. By the time I usually do is no harm to me.
She got a doorbell sign, you better bring it, or don't ring it. Now that's great. She got a doorbell sign, you better bring it or don't ring it.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I'm
actually go ahead.
The chorus is good. The chorus is great. Like I love what he's doing with the chorus, even in its simplicity. It's great.
Dreams come true, but it remains to be seen. By the time mine usually do, it's no longer me. I don't know what to make of that.
It may not make the most sense. I'll give you that.
Okay. So that part's the that.
I will concede that verse. Yeah.
He's probably referring to just being a completely different person with different dreams by the time his original dreams came true. I don't know. It's just an interpretation.
Okay. It's all good. It's Dave.
All I know
is what you're going to do,
She's got a doorbell sign. You better bring it or don't ring it. That's all I know.
Yeah.
That's good. She's the one that.
All right, that's She's the Woman from A Different Kind of Truth. It was the most played song from that album on both the tours, in 2012, 2015, 2013, and actually four times in 1976, according to setlist.fm. Apparently, they played this late June in Starwood, at the Starwood in West Hollywood in 1976.
I had the lyrics pulled up on my phone. There's literally a YouTube video for the 1978 demo listed. So there's a video out there. I don't know if it's actual video footage, probably just the audio. I actually think I've got a bootleg Van Halen at the Best, which was one of the early live shows that I'm almost sure a version of this song is on, although it's been a while since I've looked at it, so I'm not 100% sure.
There we are with She's the Woman. It's, I can honestly see why this might be the most played track off the album, because it's a pretty rockin' Van Halen tune. But now comes to the part you all are ready for, because this is where we decide if the song is a yay or a nay. Is it what dreams are made of, or is the dream over? We've had our thoughts about this album before and some of its some of the songs that we've done. Tom, you are our guest, though. Self-appointed Van Halen fan. But would you say... And friend of the show, obviously. And we adore you for that. Thank you. But would you say that She's the Woman is what dreams are made of? Or is the dream over?
What dreams are made of? You know, a lot of people, like, when this album came out, were like, oh, they pulled a bunch of stuff, old stuff, and why are they redoing stuff? Why not do new? But look, you can bring out the past. You can put it, you know, you can sand it down, put a little extra paint on there, and make it sound great. And like I said, you know, this harkens back to the classic Van Halen 1 sound. You know, it's short, it's tight. Sure, there's a couple of wonky lyrics in there, but it's Dave. There's always going to be a couple of wonky lyrics in there, and that's fine. I'm good with it. So yeah, I'll put this in the playlist today.
Well, there you go. Yeah, fantastic. So then, I have a pretty good idea of where this is going to go, but I'm just going to go ahead and ask Corey. She's the woman of the dreams or of your nightmares, yay or nay?
Oh, God!
I love this song. I love everything about this song. Yeah, there's that one wonky little verse. That's fine. I thought the lyrics were great. I thought David sounded great. I thought the band sounded fucking great. I love this album. This is one of the standouts on the album for me. This is 100%, no questions asked, what dreams are made of. But the real question, I was pretty sure where Tom was going to lie. I knew where I was lying. It's all up to Mark Kammeyer to make this a clean sweep. And I know you were trying to shit on Dave's lyrics, and I'm pretty sure I fended that off because obviously his lyrics are brilliant. So it's going to come down to Mark Kammeyer. Is this what dreams are made of for you, or is the dream over?
Well, the answer just might surprise you, but let's get it out of the way. All right, if we can allow Sammy some leeway with some of his ridiculous lyrics, we have to do the same for Dave. Not all the lyrics in this song are it's not Hemingway writing this shit, you know, it's fine. Nevertheless, it works for the song. This is another one where I thought I was probably not going to be into it, just because I don't know. This is not a particular album that I have great affection for, because I'm still fairly new to it. It sort of passed me by when it hit. However, we've been pleasantly surprised before. I know I have. The middle section of the song once again came in and saved the day. If we didn't have such a good, strong middle section with the solos, or the intro to the solo, the bridge, whatever you want to call that, when, as I mentioned, Eddie kind of goes into sort of this 70s funk sort of interlude while Alex is doing his thing. And then they both come in, like the instrumentalists just come in and just really, really drive that beat home. If not for that, if it hadn't gone the way it did, I might have been just kind of, this song is to me. But however, it's not. This was a fun song, despite lyrics aside. This was fun. I can understand why this was the standout, and frankly, this song is a banger, so it deserves to stand out on this album, and I think in the overall, at least Dave era of the echelon of Van Halen. So yes, yeah! I will go ahead and tell you, yeah, She's the Woman is in fact what dreams are made of. So congrats. All you pro Davers, you see, I'm not so against Dave, am I? I can point out when it's shit, but when it redeems itself.
I had to lead into this, and I completely lost it. If you don't like generally in a Van Halen song, if you don't like the lyrics, the music will generally always save it, because the band is just so tight, and it just, well, you know, Eddie is a genius, of course, and Alex is right there with him. And it's just magic. And we all know Wolfgang's talents by now. If you haven't heard his album, by all means, God, go out and get it, because it's just amazing. And one other bit of Van Halen news, by the way, saw that Wolfie tweeted today that he's starting to work on the guitars, and he's got a great shot of that new Eddie model that he and Fender have been working on in the in the tweet that he posted. So it's like, I need one of those, because that's a very cool guitar.
Yeah, drums and bass are done. He's working on guitars and then vocals, and who knows, maybe by Christmas might have like a Mammoth 2 release, which would be phenomenal.
He can take all the time he wants. It's all good.
Absolutely. Yep. 100%.
Yeah. He's going at it pretty hard. So, I mean, it's really only a matter of time. And then the mastering process, I'm sure, will take some time. Yeah. But there you go. Mm-hmm. Hard at work, that Wolfie. And we look forward to it. So, yeah, there it is. She's the Woman was, in fact, a clean sweep of What Dreams Are Made Of. I know that Corey's happy. I hope Tom is happy. Yeah. And I hope you, the listener, are happy with the results. So,
and if
there
not,
it is.
The poll is coming.
Yeah,
let us
yeah,
know.
Of course.
My DMs are open. Bring it on. I got this.
Tom knows the format. Yeah, he'll tell you how the show goes. Yeah,
I tell you.
There will be a poll. Look out for the rockin' poll and give us your feedback.
If this one isn't 90-10, I'm not going to understand Van Halen fandom.
I can tell you straight up, I'm nearly positive this is not going to be a 90-10. I don't know if this is going to vote the way you think. I could be wrong. I've been wrong.
You're probably right. No, you're probably right. I've been surprised by the polls before. Yeah. Yep.
Well, time will tell, and it's up to you guys. So be on the lookout for that. If you're listening to the show right now, then the poll is already up. So go on over to our Twitter at Podcast Will Rock and give us a vote. Corey, where can the good people find all of the stuff that we have going in one place, one-stop shop? Tell them what we got.
Well, I tell you, the one-stop shop is www.podcastwillrock.com. You can get all of our past episodes. You can get some merch. I know, Tom, you can't see it, but he's sporting the And the Podcast Will Rock coffee mug. That's a quality mug. Good purchase there, Tom. We had a lot of people filling out the online form and saying, hey, we'd like the show. We want to come on. I think we have guests now until February or March of next year. So that's great that so many Van Halen fans want to come on the show and talk about Van Halen. But if you don't want to wait for an actual show, you know, like a show proper, we're doing a live show Saturday, November 5th. I don't know if I've cleared this with Mark. I'm announcing it here, though. We're going to go live. We're going to post a link on our Twitter. If you want to come on the show, Tom, you're more than welcome. Anybody who's been on the show before, anyone waiting, you know, their place in line, we're going to spin the wheel probably twice, and we're going to knock out a couple of shows live. We're going to get as many people on it as we can, spin the wheel and talk about Van Halen. So if you're interested in that, I'm hoping Tom will come on because he did a great job here tonight. But let's do this live to celebrate our 1 year anniversary, Saturday, November 5th. Let's call it right now, 9 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock Mark Time. We'll post the link on our Twitter, and we're going to do this live, and we're going to get as many people on as we can, and we'll try and get two shows out of it. It'll be shows 51 and 52 in our journey to cover every single officially released Van Halen song. So I'm very much looking forward to that. If you don't want to wait your turn, grab the link and come on board, and let's talk a little Van Halen on November 5th.
That is going to be a very, very fun show, and we appreciate all of you guys listening, keeping the discussion going, and being the reason why we are going to do this, why we keep doing this. So thank you. And one of those people are here on the show that has been very vocal and very informative and supportive, and we appreciate him. Tom, thank you so much for being on the show. Hey, you got anything you want to plug or let the people know where they can find you to shout you out?
Well, I'm on Twitter at BASSPLYR5150. I've had that handle forever. It's been my it was my email when email was Hotmail. If that tells you how long I've been doing this thing. But I'm there. All I've got is support your libraries, support your local independent bookstores, and just go out there and be kind to people, because it's rough, man. Just be kind. It's all good.
Well said.
And I want to thank you guys for throwing open the doors, inviting me on. It took a while. That's cool. I had patience. I didn't want to bug you, but this is such a great interactive space. And you guys are great, and I love the show. So
thank you
so much. It's been a blast. Yeah.
Thank you for sticking with us.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for your patience. Yeah. We're trying, you guys, and we appreciate the high demand of people who actually want to be on the show and want to talk to us and talk some Van Halen. That's very flattering, and we'll get to you. We assure you. Honestly, the best course of action, if you've been waiting this long, hit up the live show when we do our anniversary podcast. There's a bigger chance you'll get on in that one real quick. So do that. Corey, where can the people find you personally?
Oh, they could find me at CD Morissette on Twitter. They could find me. I do a couple of shows with John Mariano, Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, where we break down the entire Aerosmith catalog, and Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking everything music from movies. We're having a lot of fun on that show as well. And of course, they can find the show. I mentioned www.podcastlerock.com, at podcastlerock on Twitter, and as part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. Amazing shows as part of this network. Let's just go through them real quick. We have the Deep Purple Podcast, Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Skinnerd Reconsidered, In the Lap of the Pods, The Magician's Podcast, which is everything Uriah Heep, Hawk Binge, Maiden A to Z, Diary of the Mad Men, The Metal Gods Podcast, talking everything Judas Priest, Universally Speaking, talking everything Red Hot Chili Peppers, Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, So Far, So Pod, So What, talking everything Megadeth, The Tom Petty Project, and T-Bone's Prime Cuts.
Boom. What a list. What a show. You're never going to be bored at the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, I assure you. And if you want to debate that, you can find me at Twitter and Instagram, or on Twitter and Instagram, at Mark the Bat. Go ahead, send me your debates, send me your complaints. I'm happy to answer them, because it's just fun for me at this point to just get into meaningless debates, but it's fine. Tell me why you are pro Dave and anti Sammy. I'm here for the conversation. Yeah, even though it probably won't be it probably won't go the way you think it will, it's fine. But I'm always up for a good discussion about rock music, anything involving Van Halen whatsoever, because why else will we be doing the show? We are not experts, we're not historians, we're just humble, simple fans who enjoy the music and are rediscovering it through this journey on the show, just like you are rediscovering the music with this show. If you've been with us for this long, we appreciate you, but that is the journey, that is the show. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.